Praise God.
I don't know why it's like panning around. Praise God. I really believe that that song was kind of like the word of the Lord during for us this morning. Thank you very much for confirming wherever you are, for being obedient to the Spirit. I'm going to turn it off there. But I think it's very apropos, and I think it's a valid question. We're making it in the song as a statement. We will be ready, Lord. And I hear in the Spirit, will you be ready?
Amen.
Will you be ready?
Amen.
Because I don't believe we'll be ready if we're not willing to make some drastic changes concerning our lifestyle. A lot of our lifestyle, which we think is very necessary, and possibly so, interferes with our position, our place of relationship with God. Now, if you were a normal Christian, can I put it that way? If you were in the outer court position or in the place, the Christianity that you have might be sufficient. It would not necessarily save you from persecution. Oh, wow. That's right. It might not necessarily save you from persecution, but it would certainly be an advantage to you in the midst of your persecution. But we have a different word. Can I call it theology? I don't like the word theology, but I don't know what else to call it. I don't want to call it a religion. Well, greater reality, yes, in the spiritual concept of who, what God is and what it is that God wants. Praise the Lord. And the time frame that we are living in is getting more and more hazardous. Hallelujah. As we are seeing some of the reports coming out of Europe and so forth and so on as to what is happening in some of those arenas. And we also have the smaller incidents that have been happening in the United States. But I do know what God spoke to me, that which was going on in Africa, jumping to Europe and then coming to the United States. And we're going to see an escalation of all of those things concerning what is in the devil's mind, because the Bible says that the devil is very much aware of his time being shortened. Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I think he's much more aware of it than us. We're kind of like, I don't know how to put it, we're kind of anesthetized. Is that right? Is that a right word? We're in this state of limbo. When they anesthetize you for an operation, you're alive, right? You're conscious, but you're unconscious. Hallelujah. And you don't necessarily feel the pain of what's going on in your body as they're making adjustments and doing whatever is necessary for you to do to be healed. But we are in that situation. That's a good thing, I suppose. Praise God. But with us, that is not necessarily the case. Because we know that there are five wise and there's five foolish. And we have heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. We heard the message of the two houses. We heard the message of the candlestick going out in the holy place. These are messages that have been coming to us over the last 10 years or maybe more. But especially within the last 5 years that I am aware of, that these messages have been coming repetitively, hammering on the fact of our position, our place. And there was a couple of years ago when the Lord spoke to me personally. He says, I am no longer interested in the individual characteristics that are out of sync with righteousness. It is a bigger problem.
And he's saying it is a problem of your lifestyle. The mentality, and I'm talking about me, the mentality that you have concerning getting up in the morning, going to work, doing the necessary things that you have to do, and all of those things that are pertinent to the aspect of our personal environment. And also in regards to that, the devil has been, and I can't say that it's all been devil, so don't, you have to discern, you have to look at your own situations, and everything I'm saying to you is tempered by what the Holy Ghost will reveal to you, or what the Holy Ghost has been speaking to you, or what the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Because I'm not involved in your personal situation. I'm not encumbered by what you are encumbered with. I have enough of my own problems to worry about. I have enough of the own circumstances and situations that are going on in my personal environment that I have to be paying attention to and looking at and examining. But what I do know is what God is saying about those situations. And he's telling me I have a need to change my lifestyle. There, as to what is a priority. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is a priority? And not in the sense of a natural environment, but in the sense of spiritual position of responsibility, spiritual position of knowledge, and a spiritual position of liability. Hello? Hallelujah. And sometimes I think it is better off if you don't know too much.
Amen.
And sometimes I feel bad. You know, you go into one of these evangelical churches, of which I have been in many, by the way, hallelujah, over the last several years, Pentecostal churches, and I'm always thinking, well, you know, for one thing, I have something sometimes of a negative attitude. Why am I here? What am I going to do? And what will they do with what I give them? Hallelujah. But nevertheless, the more we know, what does the Bible say? To whom what?
Much
is given. Much is required. So the consequences of the requirement is greater for me personally on the basis of what I have been given and what I have in some way or another come to understand as being a revelation of truth. Hello? Hallelujah. And it's not a revelation of truth necessarily that you get up and expound on and preach on and brag about or whatever it is that you do when you're talking about it. Hallelujah. But it is the aspect of the reality. You know that what you are saying is indeed something that has a liability and an accountability before God. Hallelujah. And I think this conference is being held at a particular time that is very critical in the history of the world. There is a major change going on, if you haven't noticed it. Hallelujah. As far as the United States is concerned, there is a major change that is going on. And I know that many who are seeing the change are hoping and expecting something very magnificent and something very glorious to come out of it, and possibly a reinstatement of a position of our lifestyle as we have known it in the past. One that is without fear, one that is without jeopardy. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't know how it is with all of you in Europe, but in the United States or in Nigeria, in the United States, you could walk down the street without fear of reprisal. Hallelujah. Am I the only one that's ever felt that way? I don't know. Maybe I am. Hallelujah. But, you know, when I was a kid growing up and later in as a young man and going on into greater age, We had a house. We didn't lock the door. I had a car. I drive it downtown. I left the keys in the ignition. Huh? I don't know. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that kind of lifestyle. But there was no fear. And if you had a house, if you needed help, you called a policeman without fear of trepidation, and they would respond.
That's right.
Yes. Hello? They wouldn't persecute you. Hallelujah. You know, I was in Ethiopia, and I said to one, I says, do you got a 9/11 number? He said, no. I said, well, what do you do in the case of an emergency? He says, well, the police station closes at 5 o'clock. and doesn't open until 9, maybe. Huh? Hallelujah. And you drive down the street, they got these road barriers, roadblocks, and all of these things, and they want to check your license, and they want to look in your car. It was something that was completely foreign to us personally. We did not have that type of need. Hello? But things have been changing so drastically, but they have been changing very slowly, and it seems like we have in some way or none been immune to the change. Nowadays, we expect something worse, and it doesn't seem to concern us. Now, I don't know what your personal experience were with 9/11, but most people at the time of 9/11 were amazed, aghast, incredulous, thought it was unthinkable. But how long did that concern, how long did that thought, how long did the incident of that thing, and I'm not talking about the memory of it that's brought up in the news every now and then. I'm talking about the consequences of it and all of the things that happened. How much have you thought about it since that time? And it seems like the farther we get from it, the less we remember it. And I don't know what you felt at the time. There was something of a shockwave of fear. Hello? Hallelujah. That seemed to be generated out like a aftershock of an earthquake. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, I do a lot of flying, so therefore, you know, you look at how people are dressed and their customs and where they're coming from and so forth and so on. And, you know, you begin to scrutinize people a little closer. Of course, you probably wouldn't do that, right? Hallelujah. And, you know, I'm going through security and it's a joke. It's a joke. Hello? It's a joke. I see people go in with knives. I've seen people go in with things that could have been explosives. Hello? Hallelujah. And I'm getting on that plane. And one time I remember so specifically, there was this type of individuals that were getting on this plane, and there were a group of them. Right? And I'm sitting in the seat, right? And they are getting up and looking around, walking up to the front, they're walking into the back, they're conjugating in the little alleyway there, and you're thinking there, oh my God. Am I coming home, Lord? I don't know what you would think. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, you know, with me, it's kind of different than it is from the normal person. You're not acquainted with that type of environment. You're not looking for the terrorist to pop out of the doorway next door. Hello? Hallelujah. But what I do know is it is coming to us, and it's coming on a global scale. These events that are happening in Europe, they're going to escalate. Yes, they're going to escalate. Too little, too late. It's like you wake up in the house and it's on fire. Hello? Hallelujah. And the fire is out of control. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, the only thing that you can think about, you're not thinking about how am I going to put this fire out. If you look out your door and the hallway is all ablaze, or the downstairs is all ablaze, or part of the house and smoke is coming into your room, you're not going to be thinking about how can I put this fire out. It's too late. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, I think the Bible says that some of this stuff will come upon us. Doesn't it use the word suddenly?
Yes.
Huh?
Suddenly.
Suddenly. Hallelujah.
4 or 5 times it's used. It's
used quite a few times. And when the Bible reiterates itself, when the Bible comes back again and reiterates and reiterates and reiterates, it is something that God is trying to impress us with regards to something that is critical to us. Now, brethren, we have a different message.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I'm not saying we're exclusive because we have the message, although I think in some regards it does make us exclusive. But that exclusivity. There you go. Hallelujah. Makes me more accountable. Makes me more responsible. Makes me more liable. Hallelujah. And you know what? My consequences concerning it, if I ignore it, I believe will be greater. Huh? Hallelujah. If you're on a boat and that boat is sinking and you're the only one that knows that boat is sinking, there is a consequence to your action. You know that it can be considered a criminal charge. If you are aware of a disaster that is happening and you speak not or sound the alarm or the warning, you can be prosecuted because there is some aspect or law that is governing that action. Come on. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just telling you what I believe the Spirit is telling me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is a liability involved in your knowledge of what it is you know. And on top of that, there is a liability involved as to my actions concerning it. What do I do? Hallelujah. Well, if you do the right thing, you're considered a hero. If you do the wrong thing, you're considered a rascal. a scoundrel. Somebody who is... you're done. You're finished as far as your reputation is concerned. Hallelujah. And as we are looking at the... And you know what? In all of it, God is doing what God does best. He's arranging the circumstances. He arranges the situations in such a manner, in such a way, that gives you and I every opportunity to be spiritually responsible. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. We were singing, I will be ready, Lord. I will be ready, Lord, at that midnight hour. What if midnight was tonight? How ready would you be? Huh? If you woke up tonight... and the house was on fire, what would you do? Go about your business as usual? Do the things that you are now normally doing? And now, brethren, in all of these things, as I say, everything is tempered by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if I am in a place of jeopardy, I have a responsibility to go to God and ask Him, what is my jeopardy?
Amen.
Did you hear me? I'm not telling you, you have to go out and do this, and do this, store goods here, do this, make a little hideaway somewhere. Huh? I'm not telling you need to do that. I'm telling you what you need to do is examine your situation by virtue of the Spirit of God and ask Him, diligently knock. How does it go? Knock.
Ask.
What is the order of it? I always get the order.
Ask.
Ask, seek, and knock. Ask. Ask. You have to first inquire. You still have to begin to petition God. And don't expect a 5-minute jiffy answer on a 5-minute jiffy prayer. Huh? Don't expect God to do that. Oh, and by the way, Lord, I would like to know about my lifestyle. And then go about your business as nothing. It's going to take fasting. It's going to take... You know, we have worked a long time to get into the mess of what we are in. Huh? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. When Israel needed to be delivered from the Midianites, they were in bondage, not just to the Midianites, but in their position of idol worship. They were in bondage. And there was something that Gideon had to do in order for God to begin to move on their behalf. Hello? Hallelujah. He had to examine his own set of circumstances and begin to make adjustments in the order of those activities that he and his family were involved in. Hallelujah. One of the things that he was supposed to do was go up and destroy the altar. And one of the biggest altars we have is the altar of self. Hello? Come on. Hallelujah. I think in one of the lessons over the past several days, we were dealing with the preeminence of self in its position of worship. Rebellion and stubbornness are two characteristics of self-worship. Hallelujah. If you are rebellious in any aspect, there is a degree of self-worship. If you are stubborn in some of your thinking and thoughts, man, I can't even tell you how stubborn I was concerning the issues that were confronted, that I was confronted with in the changing of my habitual way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Stubborn. Hallelujah. Stubborn. Hallelujah. You know, I said it many times. I was one of these fast food junkies because I was a construction worker. Well, that's all construction workers did. They ate junk food. Donuts in the morning, donuts in the afternoon, McDonald's in the afternoon. Maybe a McFly as you go through the driveway on the way to work. Hello. Hallelujah. And when somebody starts talking to me about that's unhealthy, something in here just rises up. Now, I'm just telling you my own testimony. That's all I'm doing. I'm not saying you are junk addicts. I'm not saying that. Hallelujah. And you know, one day, I had a dream one day. And in the dream, I'm not going to go into all the particulars of it. But God was showing me he was giving me favor. You understand? It was a long dream, but in the aspects of it, showing me he was giving favor. There are two things I like to do when I was construction. I like to eat these Baby Ruth candy bars. Huh? You know what they are? Oh, come on. Go into the store and look around. You'll see Baby Ruth there. They're this, I don't know, this concoction that they put together of caramel and peanuts and nuts and chocolate. And they're covered with chocolate. And I like them.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked was Coca-Cola. I did. And that was my coffee break, along with my coffee break. Huh? My Baby Ruth and my Coke. Well, in this dream, God was showing me that there was a situation of comparison going on between this other person and me. And God was showing me he was giving me favor because he's saying, I'm letting you have your Baby Ruth in your Coke. Now, you say God don't talk like that. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Huh? Because God knew down the road he was going to take it away from me. Huh? Hallelujah. And it was a year or so later, and of course I was enjoying my Baby Ruth and my Coke. And when anybody says, you shouldn't have that diet right there, it's kind of crazy. You shouldn't be working on that diet like that. I said, well, God said I could do it. Of course, you never do that, right? Hallelujah. Well, he didn't leave me there. It was not maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. He came to me in a dream. He said, I'm taking away your Coke and your baby Ruth. Now, I knew he was talking about spiritual favor. He was saying there was a responsibility and a liability to me. But I had to lay down the natural aspect of what it was I was participating in. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know if it's the same with you. I'm just making you know of my weaknesses. But, you know, I liked it. I enjoy it. And every now and then I still sneak one in. And I make an excuse for it. I'm driving down the road. My eyes are going like this. Hallelujah. But I never buy the two together. Huh? I never buy the two together. You think I'm fooling God? The only person I'm fooling is myself. Oh, he won't look at that. Oh, he won't look at that. Oh, he won't look at that. Yeah, I'm not doing. I'm doing what he said. I'm just eating it. And I never drink Coke, by the way. Huh? So I'm half good. I'm half obedient. So if I'm half obedient, I'm okay, right? 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 No. But I'm driving down the road. My eyes are going like that. I said, well, I just need a little bit of sugar or something to kind of pump me up and to wake me up and get me where I'm in attention. So I pull in there. Hallelujah. And I make sure nobody's watching me. And I get that tiny Ruth and I go over there and I buy it. Of course, you don't do things like that, do you? Huh? And then I put it in my pocket. No, the side pocket of my door. And every now and then when nobody's looking, you know, up. You thought I was a saint, right? And when I'm done, I feel so bad. I'm awake. But I feel so bad inside. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. You know, that's a simple, funny little thing. But it is indicative of a bigger problem. It's indicative of a position of self-importance, self-reliance, self-stubbornness. Hello? Hallelujah. And you know, I'm trying to cure myself of that position of resistance. When somebody comes to me, I don't want to immediately rise up and start defending something that I'm involved with. We usually defend, you know. Of course, you don't do that, but most of us do. At least I do. You come to me with something and I can give you 101 different reasons why I'm doing it. And why what I'm doing is okay. And sometimes I can even pull out the scripture. Hello. But God is saying, part way isn't sufficient anymore. Halfway isn't sufficient anymore. And you know what? That brings back something that Brother Duciel was talking to us about one time, and he mentioned it many times. I heard it many times in a church that was called Halfway Tree. Huh? What was? And God, and he was saying, why are you blessing these people? Huh? Why are you blessing these people? They don't have the same revelation as I have, and you're blessing them. And he said, halfway tree for halfway people. I don't want to be halfway people. I don't want you to be halfway people. Because you know what happens to halfway people? When the tsunami comes in, they are captured. They are taken away with the flood of it. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there were many that repented in Noah's day. Yeah. There were. The Bible tells us that. But were they inside or outside? Huh? Hallelujah. The Bible says that you and I have a greater position, a greater place, a greater reward. We are supposed to be saviors. Plural. Do I get that wrong? Does it tell us we're supposed to be saviors? That means that we are supposed to be moving and performing and operating as Christ operated in his capacity of saving souls. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have a responsibility, brethren. We have an accountability. The word that we have is a greater word than that of the evangelicals or the Pentecostals. And there's something else that bothers me. And sometimes, more times than not, I look within myself concerning the dilemma. But you know, when I go into this, when we were in Ethiopia, Brother Jamal, bless his little heart. Hallelujah. What a blessing the brother is. He has a burden for people. He has a burden for churches. You know, he worked extensively with the evangelical church before we came along. Hallelujah. In fact, they had him in the Lutheran church as an evangelist. And he was Evangelist Jamal. Hallelujah. And he made sure that we know he was Evangelist Jamal. Hallelujah. Of course, since that time, he's dropped that title and he's now just Brother Jamal. Hallelujah. And he's now working for his own living. And he's now living off the people of God. Hallelujah. But he had a burden. He had a burden for these people in these churches. And so he would bring me through one church. We'd go in the front door and out the back door. And in the front door of another one, out the back door. In the front door of another one, in the side door, out the side door, into another church. And one of the things that always bothered me is when we come into those churches, of course, the pastor is a little leery of you. He wants to be sure that he wants to be sure that you're not going to rob him or steal his congregation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one place they brought us in on Wednesday night because he wanted a smaller crowd. Hallelujah. But you know what? When I stood up and began to minister, God came down. He came down in such a way that I am not familiar with in our gatherings. On a normal basis, sometimes God, you know, there's times that are really plus. I'm not saying that there isn't. But God came down, and it amazed me. Of course, you would have just taken it in the stride, but me, God, you're really here. You're really here, God. And as you begin to minister, it's they're sucking it out of you. They're sitting on the edge of their chairs. I went into a Jewish synagogue. Oh, thank God I had the knowledge of the tabernacle. They were amazed that a Gentile knew so much about the tabernacle. Hello? And you know, the rabbi, he says, he was a little hesitant, maybe a little fearful. He says, will you please wear this shawl? He said, you don't have to if you don't want to. I said, God said to me, be all things to all men. But when I knew I was going, I went down before the Lord and I said, now God, I have a little problem here. These people are supposed to be your people. Now how am I supposed to treat them? You're going into a synagogue with all of the ritualism and all of the stuff that they're doing. Now, how is it that I am supposed to relate to these people? He said to me, another denomination. Isn't that amazing? And God would tell me that this forum, this people, were under the denominational bondage of religion. No, it's not funny when you know the plan and purposes of God. Hallelujah. And I said to him, no, I don't mind at all. So I put the shawl on myself, that little blue shawl with the little laces on it and all the little things on the bottom of it. And as I begin to stand up and minister, God came down in that room. Yes, that's about what I did too. Hallelujah. And those people, the simple elementary things of the tabernacle, you understand. The brazen altar, the brazen laver, and the accoutrements that are in the holy place, and the significance of them, and the thought and the intent of what it is that God was wanting to do, and how it was being worked out in the elaborate layout of that tabernacle. They were like birds, hungry little birds. Hallelujah. And that meeting, and I was thinking in my mind, I said, oh my God, as I'm ministering and the word is flowing, and it's not me really, it's just God flowing. One lady sitting there, I thought she was going to fall off of her chair. I kept thinking, I'm going to have to catch her now. Hallelujah. 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 And the word just kept coming. And you know, I wanted to hear one of those shofar horns. So I said to the rabbi, I said, do you blow the horn before you open the service? He says, oh, most certainly. I said, we don't do it all the time. I said, well, could you do it for me? Hallelujah. And he got up there with this big horn, and he gets there and he, oh, and it was like heaven opened. And I'm thinking, oh God, Brother Duseal would have loved this. And I'm saying, I said, Seth, you need to be here. Huh? He would have loved it. Hallelujah. So I had to be on my best behavior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as the word was flowing, these people's mouths were open and they were sitting on the edge of their chair. And after it was finished, they were all coming. And you know, they had communion too, by the way. Huh? And they come out with this big, humongous piece of bread. And I'm not exaggerating. Two kids come up with it. And they set it. And they cut these blocks out of it.
Big pieces.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, they were big pieces.
They were big pieces. It's like sitting down and having a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. Hallelujah. But in all of that, I am saying God was there in the midst of it, in spite of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The unfortunate problem is that the rabbi later said to me, we do not need a replacement theology. I said, brother, I'm not giving you a replacement theology. I'm giving the fullness of the theology that was given to you in the beginning. I'm giving to you a greater dimension of it. A living dimension of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And recently, Jamal contacted me and he told me, he said, Brother Bird, I want you to know that some of those people have come out of that religious order and they're asking for more of this particular word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. That's the kind of enthusiasm we need. Hallelujah. Another Pentecostal church, they were so Pentecostal it made my toenails curl. Huh? And I get up to minister the word of God and down comes the Holy Spirit. Huh? Down comes that Holy Spirit. And God begins to move. I had a man get up, and I remember one time I was in a place, and I was ministering on five wise and five foolish versions, as we understand it, not as the church interprets it. Hello? The man came to me afterwards. He says, you know, I have been in this Pentecostal gospel for over 35 years. Hallelujah. He says, I have never heard. I am responsible for 85 fellowships. He's a bishop. Huh? He says, I have never heard the truth about what you were talking about. He says, where did you get it? Can you imagine being in the church for 35 years and not know where revelation comes from? Doesn't come out of a Bible school. Hallelujah. It comes from interaction of an individual with the Word of God. If you know, so many of you young people want God to talk to you. But God is not going to talk to you outside of the Word. You have to establish a basis with God on the Word. And as you read the Word and as you meditate upon the Word, as you look into the Word of God, there is some revelation or some understanding that begins to come. And it begins to form a foundation on which God can now come to you from a different source, from a different way. But if you're not founded, if you're not grounded in the Word, then you are subject to many voices that have a knowledge of the Word, but the knowledge they have is not for your betterment, not for your position or your place, and your self-interest in God, if I can put it that way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He says, will you be ready? How many times do you read your Bible? How many times do you sit down and read it and think about it? And when you wake up in the morning, what is one of your first thoughts?
Hallelujah.
What's your first thought? Huh? It blesses me. Nancy wakes up with a song. Sometimes it irritates me. And probably my irritation is, why did she hear it first and not I? Of course, you're not like that, right? You don't have that problem. Come on. Hello. Hallelujah. Oh, you're in conversation. They're talking about something and something. And in the talk, in the middle of the talk, a scripture comes into your mind. What do you do with it? Do you just put it off to the shelf and wait for a later time? Or maybe it's something you're supposed to say at that moment. Well, you know, that reminds me. You know, that's what Brother Duciel was always doing. We would sit down to eat lunch in some city somewhere. And waitress would come up there and start taking our order. And he would just out of the blue say something about this or something. And it's not something simple. I remember one time we were in New York. We were gathering together. We were coming from different places to get on a plane. I think to go to Nigeria. I'm not quite sure where we were going at that time. I think it was Nigeria. Hallelujah. And this brother comes in. A brother comes in and he's with some relative that he was staying with in New York who was bringing him to the airport. Right? And we didn't know him. Hello? Didn't know his name. Just knew that he was a relative. And we're standing there in a group and the Cecil looks at the man and he says, you know there's no rapture. And I'm sitting, oh. I'm looking at Seth, where did that come from? Huh? And of course, you know what happened.
Yes.
Sparks begin to fly. Huh? Hallelujah. Everywhere we went, anything we were involved in, Cecil was always turning it, always speaking it, always bringing up God somehow, some way. Sometimes he just threw it into the pot. You talk about potluck. Hallelujah. And there was another person that we were traveling with. I'm not going to mention the name. But they had a prophetic calling. They would get personal words for people. This person was, they were without fear. They were without fear. We walked into a restaurant one day, and we sit down at a table, and all of a sudden, they get up, and they walk over the trouble, and I'm going like this, oh no. And they walk up to the table, and looks at that person and says, I have a word for you from God. I said, oh my God. I'm collecting my stuff, because we might have to exit the restaurant in a hurry. Because you're not doing that, right? You're right over there with him. Go, 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 go. And you're like, we don't know her. We don't know him. We don't know them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day we walked into a restaurant. They came in, we sat down, and we were ordering our food. And all of a sudden, this person from another table comes over and points the finger in their face and says, "If you look at me one more time, I'm going to sock you." And they hadn't looked at her at all. The person, the lady, they hadn't looked at her at all. But we all knew that the lady was in sin. It was written all over her. Hello. Hallelujah. We didn't say nothing. We were just sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, that lady is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When is the last time that happened to you? Huh? It says, if you're in the Word, if you're in the Lord, if you're moving with God, the world hates you. The world hates you. And do you know something? There's some of the difficulty that you have with personalities in different arenas of business and life is not because they are a bad person and you are a good and you are a bad person. It is that the fact that you have something that is irritating and aggravating the spirit that is within them, and they give you a bad time without even knowing why they're giving you a bad time. Hello? Hallelujah. And we do not recognize the confrontation. We do not recognize it as a spiritual confrontation. I will be ready, low at the midnight hour. I'm not going to be asleep. Oh yes, we are sleeping. Because we can't even discern the reality of the spiritual confrontations that we have on a daily basis. A spirit comes into your home and begins to stir your children. Huh? And it begins to move from one to the other, and they're fighting and quarreling, and things are going wrong, and something breaking down here, and something over here is not working. Hallelujah. It's not just you're having a bad day. It's not that you're having a bad day. Do you hear me? It's not that you're having a bad day. You don't have bad days. You have spiritual confrontations. And you need to stop and understand the reality of what you are fighting. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We can't even discern the activity of our daily routines. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, brethren, hallelujah. We need, God is doing everything that He possibly can do to, without doing what needs to be done, doing it Himself. He doesn't intend to do it Himself. That's not His intention. It wasn't His intention in the very beginning. Why do you think God said, "I want to build an image, make an image, in my image and in my likeness"? Why do you think He wanted to do that? Because there was something that image and likeness was going to be, was ordained and destined to do that He Himself did not want to do. He wanted to do it in a different way. Hallelujah. And we let so many things, business, family, personal relationships, so many things fill our mind with the collective activity of the day. And you know, the worst weapon that he uses against us is our own soul. The devil is a master deceiver. He has been studying humanity for 6,000-7,000 years. He knows the inside of you better than your doctor. Not only your physical being. And brethren, I don't know how he is able to manipulate the flesh, but I do know he is able to do it. And sometimes he sets you up. You know what I mean? In the habitual things that you eat and all of those things that go on, that do things in your body that are not good for you. Huh? Hallelujah. And at the right time, he just pulls the chain to activate it. Hallelujah. And then we go into crisis operation. And the other thing that really bothers me personally, and I believe in some way, in some measure, if not greater than most, I have a liability concerning it, is that we seem to be one step behind the devil. We seem to be one step behind the devil. We are always moving in crisis mode. Now, if we weren't where we are, the story might be different. And you could say, well, God hid it from us. And sometimes he does do that. You, by the way. Do you remember the story that of the woman that came weeping to the prophet? Huh? Do I got my story right? And the prophet did not discern what was going on. And he said, well, it must be that God has hid it from me. There's a story there. I'll see if I can find it later on. Huh? Elijah. It was Elijah. I was thinking Elijah, but I didn't have the courage to say it for being wrong. Hallelujah. You might find it for me and we can give it to him. They can look it up. Some things can be hidden, but if they're hidden, I have to be praying about it and God not telling me about it. You understand what I'm saying? If I am praying and God wants to reveal it, he is going to reveal it. And I have to have the discernment. I have to have the spiritual sensitivity to understand that it's God and not the devil. Hallelujah. I have such a graphic experience in that one day I had this dream, and my God, it was a horrendous dream. It was, and I got up in the morning and I told my wife, the devil just gave me a bad, bad, horrendous dream. Huh? And I don't know what the circumstances were, but somehow God quickened me to call someone and begin to talk with them. And in the talking, I begin to understand and come to a position of revelation that the dream was not from the devil. It was from God telling me what the devil was going to do to an individual in a particular situation. Hello? And when I begin to talk with them and share with them, and I begin to find out their set of circumstances, and as we were sharing and talking, God began to bring the revelation of what needed to be done. And you know what? The disaster was averted. Hallelujah. And you know, I come to the conclusion from that. I don't care if it comes from the God or from the devil. Now, you're going to get this wrong. But if I know it's from the devil, then what the devil is doing is either bragging about it, or he's telling me what he is planning to do. So I have the appropriate response. Whether he's bragging about it or telling me what he's going to do, I can begin to effectively pray against what it is that he wants to perpetrate. Loose! Hallelujah. We are part-time Christians. I think there was a message on it here years ago called moonlighting. Huh? We're working down at the 7-Eleven after hours. Huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one thing, this last election... Hallelujah. And you know, you probably have your own position or fact of what you believe about it, but I know what God has told me, and I'm just going to share it with you. We have two candidates, right? Neither of them is primo. And one of them is worse than the other. But what I did know, if the other got the position, it was done. Because you see, I believe what God told me back in 2012. When he said the United States was dying or dead, in God's eyes, he wasn't looking at the then. He was looking at what was coming down the road. Hallelujah. And I still believe it. Hallelujah. I cannot be deterred because of what is happening in the natural. But the one thing I was concerned about was that we seemingly needed some more time. Not just in our own efforts, in our own position, in our own lifestyles, because we have not been heeding the voice of God. Now, if that shoe doesn't fit, don't try to put it on. We have not been heeding the voice of God. We have not earnestly been going before God in fasting and prayer. We've been going to God in fasting over sick and diseases and death and desolation and the things that have been happening around us that have already happened. But we have not been going to God in that manner, in that way, hallelujah, on the basis of our own individual involvement in life. Yes. Hallelujah. I have no problem with your lifestyle if you can tell me God has ordained my path. Do you hear me? And I'm not going to press you to tell me that. But if you can tell me that, I can release you. Do you understand what I no longer have a responsibility for you.
Amen.
Huh? Hallelujah. And it's not that I am attaining and you're not. I am telling you, we are all in the same pot. In one degree or another. Some pots are hotter than other pots. But nevertheless, the pot is the same as far as the lifestyle is concerned. Hallelujah. 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 We put everything else on a priority other than changing and going to God concerning the position of our position of captivity and secular bondage. Hallelujah. I don't know. Have any of you beside me been a little frustrated over the lack of communication as far as your device is concerned? You probably didn't bother any of you, right? You have no phone service? Huh? Some of us say hallelujah. But how long can you take it? Nah, I don't think so. I admire you if it's true. How many of us can take it? How long can we take it? How many of you are comfortable without the news? Hallelujah. You know, okay, that's fine. You can pray for me. Huh? Hallelujah. You can pray for me. I had to turn the TV on this morning. Huh? Oh, I wanted to find out about this German terrorist group. And there's nothing there. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Huh? Nothing there. Huh? But that didn't stop me from looking at other news. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, God, it's something of a prophetic word is being talked and spoke. Somebody, what was it? They said, why did you pick an area? Huh? What was it that said? Why did you pick an area that is isolated or something like that? Huh? Oh yeah, why did you pick an area that has no network? Of course, he passed the buck. Right? It wasn't I who chose it. Hallelujah. But you volunteered to come. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you know, maybe I'm just in a little worse place and a little less spiritual than the rest of you. But there is something that God is saying to us as a people. Hallelujah. You know, when I stayed up, it's the first time in my life I ever stayed up and watched a whole election to the day to they declared the winner. It's the first time in my life. It was 2:30 in the morning. Hallelujah. When they finally say, well, it looks like Trump has it. Praise the Lord. And I'm sitting there and I'm pondering God and I'm asking, you know, because one of the issues for me is more time, more time, more time, more time. Hallelujah. Brethren, I do not know about you. I was talking with Nancy the other day and I said, you know, I don't want to die in my bed. Hello? I don't want to die in my bed. I was talking to a person the other day, sometime back, I say the other day, brother, forgive me. Time has a way of getting away from me. Thank God. Hallelujah. And they were telling me that they had a relative, and I believe it was his father. No, this was a couple of years ago. I believe it was his father. He went out with his dad that night. They had a steak dinner at one of the major restaurants, had a good time of fellowship and talking about things and conversing as son and dad would converse. Took him home, hugged him, and says, Dad, I love you. You know, they're not Christians. He said, Dad, I love you. And the father says, Son, I love you and thank you for such a wonderful time. He went in, laid down on his bed, went to sleep. He passed.
The dad.
The dad. The son was telling me about it. He says, what a way to go. What a lovely way. And I'm not, it was a lovely way for him. But I don't want to die in my bed. I don't want to die in an easy chair sitting in my living room. I want to, if God chooses to take me, if God wants that I don't get to work it out to the end, I don't want to die in an easy chair in my room. I want to die on the battlefield swinging a sword.
Yes.
Swinging a sword, do you hear me?
Yes.
And I don't mean just for the sake of killing devils. I mean overcoming Satan and sin that is in my family and in my surrounding and in my soul.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When I begin to slay those demons and those devils and I begin to break down the hierarchical system of the familiarity of my family, then I can begin to slay the devils that are ruling around in my brother run.
Hallelujah.
That's where I want to go out, swinging a sword.
Hallelujah.
One of my sons bought me this big sword. This was years ago. Hallelujah. This big sword, it stands up about like this. Got a case and a hilt on it like this, you know. And you can actually just kind of lean on it. He brought me this big sword. And he on the side, on this note that he wrote on it, he said, Son, Dad, keep swinging the sword for us. I said, praise the Lord. I got it hanging right there. I got it against my wall. To remind me, that is what I need to be doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to hang it out there in plain sight. But I think that some people might object to it. It's not your normal wall decoration. Hallelujah. But one day it's going to get there. Hallelujah. When I figure out how I can put it up there and not have it fall down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. I don't know if you ever think about it. I don't know if these things are really pertinent to you or they're really paramount. I don't know if they're really in the front of your mind. Of course, you're not as old as I am. Hello? Hallelujah. I think that after you reach 70, it's grace. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I asked a person, a good friend of mine the other day, I said, do you ever think about life and it's running out? Well, I wanted to know if I'm the only one that thinks that way. And they said to me, he says, you know, I do. Hallelujah. I said, well, I don't feel all by myself then. Hallelujah. But in the running of it out, I want it to be full to the extent, full to the position, to the place of doing what it is I need to do in the time frame that God has given me to do it. Do you understand? And the strength that He's given me to do it. Hallelujah. You know, Paul had a revelation of he was going to die. He had a revelation. What would you do with that revelation? Oh God, I don't want to die. I just don't want to die. Give me a little more time, like Hezekiah praying. Oh God, give me some more time. Give me some more time. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What would you do? Huh? I think we probably order our business a little different. I think that we would have different priorities. Don't you think so, Brother Craig? Huh? I think that we would order our business a little different. Our priorities would be a little greater, a little more sincere. And not only that, but I think that we would cherish the moments that we have with the people around us. Hallelujah. And our love for one another would be something other than phileo. Hallelujah. Well, God is saying our time is running out. And there are some in this room who may not live to see the coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm one of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have any revelation of when I'm going to die. But when I wake up in the morning, I get up. Before I get up, I open my eyes and I'm thinking, where am I? I do. Where am I? Am I still here? Look around. Oh, yes, I'm still here. You know, there's been some places we travel a lot. We're here, there. I wake up in the morning. I don't know where I'm at. Hallelujah. And the room is dark, and I'm thinking, where am I? Am I? No, I'm not. Come on, brethren. It's pitch dark. You can't see nothing, you understand? Huh? Hallelujah. And I reach out to see if there's anything solid. Oh, you don't have those problems yet. No. Hallelujah. But to me, they are very real. They are something that is very vivid in my mind. Huh? It says it is given to man. Is given to man what? 70? That's 70 years. He says, by reason of strength, 10 more. Huh? How many is that?
70. You just made it.
Oh, okay. 70. I just made 1 and 1, 6.
You made it 90.
Thank you. Hallelujah. And it says, by reason of strength, 10 more. Anything after that is pure, unadulterated grace. And it's not dependent upon me and what I do or what I don't do. It is dependent upon God and how He examines and assesses my position of life and what I am doing with it. When you're young, you don't think about dying, do you? Do you think about dying? Huh? Do you think about dying? You do? Well, we need to pray for you. When you're young, you shouldn't be thinking about dying in that sense of the word. Hallelujah. So when the election came down, I knew in my heart that God had intervened. Never before. I think it's been not since Roosevelt or one of them that we have that the Republicans won the presidency, the House, the Senate, and the major portion of governorships. Yes. Never before. Hello? And at such a critical time as this.
Yes. Amen.
Huh? And you know, and you look at the machine, the devil machine that was working to eliminate this man. The news media, they had billions of dollars at their disposal. Hello? And you know what the Lord spoke to me? He spoke to me out of Psalms. He says, and the Lord, he says, what is it? They take counsel against the Lord and His anointed. Huh? He takes counsel. They take counsel and they want to what? Break the bands. Huh? Break the bands asunder. But the Lord.
He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh.
This is what God spoke to me. When they said that trump out of God says, and the Lord shall laugh. And have them in derision. They still can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. And they're back doing the same old thing. They can't figure it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what was the icing on the cake for me? And the confirmation that God had given us more time? Is that the Filipino president, previous to this, had said he wanted all white Americans out of the Philippines. And he was moving to put in place all of those things that would hinder us, hamper us, and possibly even keep us from going out into the Philippines to do what it is that we are involved in. Hallelujah. Was it the same day? Or 3 days later, the president of the Philippines calls the president-elect Trump and tells him and welcomes him and congratulates him. Hello? And when I heard that on the news, God said, you have more time. Deuce! Hallelujah! Now, what am I going to do with it? Personally, what am I going? We're going to have America great again. I tell you something else I believe the Lord has shown me. The vision of A.A. Allen. It's online. I suggest if you don't know it, you go and read it. Just put A.A. Allen in there. And he had a vision. He was in the entire Empire State Building. And he was looking through those binoculars that they have up there at the top that you can see. And he looked out into the bay, the harbor. He was looking at the Statue of Liberty. And all of a sudden, the Statue of Liberty became animated. It was like it was knocked off of its throne, its pedestal. Hello? And it began to reel and stagger like a drunken woman across the bay and down to the East Coast, out across the panhandle of Florida. Hello? Out into the Gulf of Mexico. Hallelujah. And as I'm thinking about this, the Lord begins to tell me, what you have seen over the past administrations was the knocking of that lady off of the pedestal and the activity, the political activity that has been going on through the successive administrations up until this time is the response of that action of her reeling like a drunken woman, staggering, as it were, down the coast out into the bay of Gulf of Mexico. But when she staggered out there, she fell down on her knees and then upon her hands in the Gulf. Hello? Huh? And she somehow managed to kind of shake herself and to then get up off of her hands, move and get up off of her knees, standing there reeling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before she finally fell down, face down into the gulf, not moving. She was finished. She was done. What I believe the Lord is saying is that that time of her getting up out of the water and standing is the time frame we are presently in. But it's temporary. Do you hear me? It's temporary. And I don't know how long the temporary goes. I am not even curious about it. I just want to grab the moment. I want to grab the moment that I am personally living in and what I am involved in with my own position of personal salvation, as well as what God has given into our care and oversight as far as the work in Africa and other places in the world. That is my concern. Hello? Hallelujah. My concern is in the aspect and the activity of the collective body of Christ that we are a part of here in the United States as well as in Europe. Hallelujah. And Africa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you need to go to God. You need to go to God. And you need to hear from God what He is saying. Whether what I am telling you is the truth. Hallelujah. And God will speak to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brethren, we need to begin to order our priorities. Not on the basis of what we think, but what God reveals to us as to the hour that we are living in.
Yes.
And as to the word that we say we believe. God help us.
I think Sophia found the scripture.
Okay, what is it?
It's the Shunammite.
That was the one on...
The side where her son died.
It was hid from Elijah. The one who was hid from Elijah.
Oh, yes, yes. Just tell them where it's at.
Second Kings 4.
Huh?
Second Kings 4. And the scripture that you mentioned about asking and knocking, that
yes.
is in Luke 11:9.
All right. Luke 11:9. Seek.
Ask.
Seek.
It's Matthew 7 as well.
Huh? It's still nailing. It started in 2012. I believe it's still total.
Amen.
Amen.
We had a special request.
Jesus, I thank you.